I will now call on Reese Brody, Finance and Budget.
Thank you, Chair Milliken.
Susan?
Susan, you're welcome to introduce the action items if you'd like.
No, I mean, you can introduce us.
Okay, well, you have somebody to introduce.
Right, so we're Mary McKinley with Fortis. Those are our external auditors are here. She's here to present the findings of the TV and radio audit and also the NCAA agreed upon procedures. And Jordan Basham is here, who's the interim director of radio and TV. And I'm going to step back over there and let Mary take over. So, Mary, you've got your slides in here. Great, thank you. Through them for me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for having me here today. My name is Mary McKinley. I'm a partner at Forbes Mazars, at least for the next 3.5 months when I'll be retiring. So that's my big news today. Normally you see Jennifer Williams here. She's the partner on the engagement. She had a scheduling conflict, but this gave me a great opportunity to come back on campus and visit and see all the new developments here. So I'm quite glad to be here today. I also have online with me Caitlin Welp. She was the in charge on the engagement. I don't know if she'll be on screen, but she is definitely online with us. So thanks to Caitlin and her team, we were able to get through this. There's Caitlin. Very good. I'd also like to say a big thank you to the Western team here, Ronaldo, Susan, Jordan, and others who helped us this year. Again, for a very smooth process with the audit for the TV and radio station. So I would like to just give you the quick results here. Good news is always easy and quick to give, so I have that pleasure today to be able to tell you you have unmodified opinions on both the radio and TV audited financial statements. We have no internal control matters that we need to report to you. We had everything wrapped up and reported within the required timelines. We had no new standards this year to adopt, so the results are very consistent and comparable from 1 year to the next. I will say that you will have a new standard coming for this upcoming year, June 30, 2025, for compensated absences, both for TV, radio, and also for the university. So that will be a new twist with the financial statements upcoming for the next year that you see. We will also go to some financial highlights very quickly here. This is the summary statement of net position for the radio station. And again, very consistent performance and financial position as what you have seen in the past. You'll see the 3 years of data here, and that demonstrates exactly that consistency. Radio's net position decreased by about $105,000 this year. Last year was about $196,000 of decrease. But the good thing is that we had increased investment income of about $492,000. There was also grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB, approximately $263,000, as well as substantial resources of appropriations from the university of approximately $890,000. Here's a snapshot of the TV's statement of net position summary items as well. And again, had some increases in investments of about $92,000 this year. The grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting of $868,000, along with WKU appropriations of about $691,000. And again, no significant changes from year to year with the TV results. The next few slides, yes, ma'am.
I guess, you know, just a deficit. And it looks like there was a deficit in 22 and then less than one in 23 and we're back up again.
Yes.
Is there a reason?
I'll rely on Susan and Jordan to help me answer those questions in detail. But, you know, from our standpoint, knowing that these departments, TV and radio, departments of the university, which are subsidized, university and by the CPB, those deficits aren't concerning from our standpoint. The reasons for those deficits, I don't know, Susan and
Jordan would probably be better equipped.
I think some of it, there was a lease disposition and then change in carry forward policy impacted a little bit too, I think.
Yeah. Does that help answer your question?
Yeah.
I also know that a big part of the expenses, the income expenses of both of the TV and radio station result from not only salaries, but also with the pension liabilities and expenses and the other post-retirement benefits expenses, and those are variable between. You do have in your materials the full letter to this group, to those charged with governance. Here are some snapshots, if you will, of some of the required communication items in that letter. Our responsibilities and the audit scope did not change from year to year, so very predictable there. We also issued unmodified or clean opinions on both radio and TV stations for the year ended June 30, 2025. And again, consistent with prior years, significant accounting policies are listed in note one to each of those sets of financial statements. We also highlight significant accounting estimates. Those both, again, revolve around the defined benefit pension plan and the other post-employment benefit plan as well. We did see three audit adjustments between TV and radio stations' financial statements, two for TV and one for radio. We have the details of those if you'd like to know more about those. But again, nothing that we needed to report to you as a significant internal control matter related to those adjustments. We also had no uncorrected adjustments. So I'll stop here with that first motion and ask for any other questions.
Any questions, comments?
With regards to public broadcasting, there's rumblings, I think, that some of the financing may go away or go down. Would that be the grants portion in here?
Yes, that would
and
be correct.
This may not be the time to ask it, but what happens in that?
That's a good question, Dr. Vail, and something actually Jordan and I are meeting next week to talk about this, about how the potential of those reductions would impact your budget and going forward. It's, as we know, with a lot of things going on right now, it's on and off and on and off. So again, I'm working with Jordan to address that.
I'd also say, since Jordan reports to me, not only is he more than capable of navigating magic through that for the institution, the service that we provide through public television and public broadcasting and NPR, our local radio station, is an important regional service. And so we would find ways to have continuity of operations, even if the federal funding were to dry up. Would it be the same? No. But I think it's an I believe in, personally and as an institution, we believe in the importance of media. And you all recall that there's no institutional control over storytelling or news reporting. I'm proud of the work that they do, the way in which they report the regional news. We continue to make sure that was available to our region.
Any other questions or comments? If not, I'd entertain a motion to accept the separate auditor's report and financial statements for WKYU-TV and WKYU-FM radio for the year ended June 30, 2024.
So moved.
Second. Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? NCAA.
We're good. So we did prepare and deliver the agreed upon procedures report for the NCAA. June 30, 2025. We issued our report dated January 15th and was submitted on time to the president and then also that reports in through the NCAA. You'll notice that in the detail of that statement of revenue and expenses for the NCAA operations, it was somewhere north of $45 million revenues and expenses. We noted no significant reportable matters in that agreed upon procedures report. Also, the changes, there were no significant changes in what the NCAA dictated that we do as far as the procedures for the NCAA agreed upon procedures this year. Now, we do expect some changes coming up for June 30, 2026, once the name, image, and likeness funding and some of those payments start to come through. We do anticipate that in that year we will have some new procedures related to NIL funding. Are there any questions with regard to the agreed-upon procedures for the NCAA?
Any questions or comments?
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, I would entertain a motion that we accept the independent accountant's report for applying agreed-upon procedures for the NCAA compliance for the year ended June 30, 2024.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Item three, Susan. Statement of revenues and expenditures for 6 months.
So, the good news is that the second quarter budget is actual. I have to highlight is that we've improved our performance by almost $15 million over prior year. So that's great news for the entire campus. I've got to commend the deans and vice presidents for working through these tough, challenging times, but we're getting the job done. So I'll drill down into a bit more of this in detail now. So if you look at total revenue, we're at 70% of the budget this year as compared to 67% in the prior year. That's $15.2 million or $6.9 million more than the prior year. So drilling down into revenue a bit more, so net tuition revenue has improved almost $7 million over prior year. And just to once again explain the term of net tuition revenue, which is something that Dr. Caboni got the campus used to using when he became president, which is really the more appropriate way of looking at tuition revenue, because this is the actual profit, where even you're not supposed to say that in this world, but that we're making on our tuition revenue. So you look at gross tuition revenue, and then you back out institutional financial aid. So you'll see that strategy is working. And so our freshman class was down slightly, but we made up the decline in freshman students through some improvements in our scholarshipping model. So again, that's really good news of about $7 million from the prior year.
Susan, can I make a comment on that? Because one of the things that we know has happened nationally is the discount rate, the percentage of tuition that's discounted through scholarship has been escalating year over year. We were following a similar trend here at the university, which was biting into net tuition revenue. And so one of the things we've worked really hard on the past several years, and this is the outcome of that work, we begin to see an increase in our net tuition revenue, not necessarily by increasing enrollment. I will remind everyone, we're not focused on getting bigger. We're focused on getting better, having better retention, better graduation rates. And we're still able to do that while growing net tuition revenue. And so I just want to point out this is the result of a lot of people's really hard work, including enrollment management and our deans, who are now full partners at the table around shaping that class, creating a more talented first-year class that comes in every year, and the great gains we've had since 2017, both in retention, graduation, and quality of that class.
Looking at the other components of revenue, just as a reminder, going back to state appropriation that was approved as part of our budget, we did see a 4.5% inflationary increase. We have to thank our legislators. That's the first inflationary base increase we've had in many, many years in the state. and a $2.2 million increase to offset a very significant increase in fire and tornado insurance across all institutions. Grants and contracts, another good news story as we try to improve our status in the research game. We did see the typical increase in our Pell and CAP grants, and we hope that that continues. But more important than that is our extramurally funded research was up 9% over the prior year. So again, kudos to the deans and all the faculty that are working hard to improve those numbers. If you go to the category of sales and service, I'd just like to point this out. There's a lot of athletic-related revenue in that category. That's up about $1.5 million over prior year, and that directly relates to football game guarantee. So I like to say that Alabama was Johnny on the spot and sent us our check very quickly. And so there you go, Shane. Maybe you had some influence there. And Ohio State, they drug their heels and didn't get it to us. So maybe you can have some influence on LSU when we play them next year.
Yeah, I've got a lot of influence on LSU.
So anyway, our other categories of revenue tracking well. Again, total revenue up. Slightly over prior year, 70% as opposed to 67 in the prior year. On the expense side, good news on the expense side as well through a lot of expense management. Again, across the university, deans and vice presidents working with tighter budgets, but learning to helping us all manage those, going down into those categories. So if you look at your the personnel category, our wages and salaries are down slightly from 49% to 47%. As a reminder, we did get a 2% salary increase, so it's not that. It's just the number of filled FTEs have declined slightly. You'll see a corresponding decline in the fringe benefits. Some of that is a reduction, at least this year and next year, in our pension liability from the state. And commingled in that, though, and kind of masked in that, is a significant increase we're seeing in health insurance, which I know the provost and I are working diligently with the benefit committee to try and get that, or try and mitigate that some and get that back under control. It's a nationwide problem that everyone is facing. So on your direct expenses, again, to offset on the revenue side, we're seeing that increase in the Pell and CAP grants. Good news is our supplies and expense budgets are down pretty significantly, 60% to 48%, so that's good news. Maintenance is down again, thanks to our facility staff working diligently on that. And then travel down as well from 63% to 41%. I will say this, it's a lot of that reduction that we saw in travel is related to just by chance athletic travel, fewer games that we had to fly to or things such as that. Our faculty are still traveling and doing their professional development. So that's all I have on the second quarter budget versus actual. Overall, from my perspective, and I've talked with Chair Brody, I think this is excellent news. And we continue. I mean, probably the deans and vice presidents are really tired of seeing my face every month. We run monthly results and meet with the deans and vice presidents to make sure that we're on track and forecasting out to what we look like at the end of the year. So. Everything is pointing positively right now.
I just say tremendous work in the first two quarters. I know that there won't be the revenue there as much in quarters three and four, but hopefully you'll continue to make other improvements and we'll get a good number at the end of Q4. Any questions or comments?
Could you speak to just a little bit looking forward how we'll see the VSIP effect as we move forward?
So. We typically don't release monthly results to the board, but we have run January results, and even with VSIP factored in, as you can reminder, that's that voluntary separation incentive plan where we paid out 1 year of salary in January to those employees that chose to depart. That was about $4 million, a $4 million hit in January that will somewhat even itself out by the end of the year. And we are still, as of the end of January, factoring that in. If you factor it out, we still made improvement in January. Factoring in, we're still about approaching $12 million better than the prior year.
Any other questions or comments?
I'm going to add my thanks to everyone in this room, certainly the deans and vice presidents, Susan's team, to our entire community who's learning how to manage monthly budgets, and then also to our budget staff who is becoming more professional in their support of deans and able to tell deans and VPs, no, you cannot do that, which is sometimes hard to do to your boss. Susan has no problem telling me no. But I'm appreciative that we're still able to do the things as an institution that we need to do. I'm thankful this is a community-wide effort to be disciplined and on budget. And it requires all of us doing that work.
All right. I'd entertain a motion to accept for filing the Statement of Revenues and Expenditures for the 6 months ended December 31st, 2024 and 2023.
So moved.
First and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Susan, second quarter financial statement.
Yeah, so this is second quarter financial statements. Just as a reminder, these are unaudited. We prepare them in-house, and our auditors, as Mary was here today, Jennifer will be here back in, I guess, October or November of this year to present our annual audit. But these are unaudited, and so I chose not to throw up a bunch of numbers at you. I thought that probably wasn't very helpful, and really just drill down to some highlights in the balance sheet and income statement. And all news is positive that our total net position and unrestricted net position increased $76 million on the total net position and $11 million respectively. And if you really, the $76 million has a lot to do with the capital investment that we're seeing on campus. So really, I tell people to really look closer at the increase in the unrestricted net position. That ties a little bit closer to what you're seeing, that our $15 million improvement, basically year over year. Cash equivalents, we are up slightly over prior year, about $3.1 million. And that represents about 84 days of cash on hand as defined by Moody's. Moody's is now saying that for an institution like us, we really should not fall below 80 days of cash on hand. So, just as a reminder, if you chose to really take a deep dive into these financial statements, the unrestricted cash and equivalents, those represents the bond proceeds for the Gordon Ford College of Business, right up there, and the Press Box Fieldhouse project going on right up there. We can't, in other words, we can't use them for anything other than those projects. On the income statement, increase in net position, again, $61.8 million. And I have to always couch this second bullet here. I've talked about it before, but financial statements have to be driven by GASB requirements, and GASB, how they define net tuition revenue is different than how institutions define net tuition revenue. And what I mean by that is that GASB also includes not just institutional aid, but also your federal aid and your Pell and your CAP and your state. So once you do that, your net tuition revenue becomes negative. Again, I'll remind the board, we talked about this at the audit. This is something that institutions across the nation, CFOs, are trying to work with GASB so that they can change that reporting mechanism so that we're comparing apples to apples. And the state appropriation increase on our income statement beyond that small increase in inflationary is primarily being driven by the capital appropriations, which is primarily the asset preservation. So that is all I have on the financial statements.
Thank you, Susan. Any other questions or comments, Susan? Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Bruce Wiseman for our quarterly internal audit report.
Did you read your Brody?
Try to make this a quick update for you all today. This is my typical quarterly update, but I've got things out of order today because I think they make more sense. We'll start off with our team updates. So our student intern, Ellen Henderson, graduated in December with a 4.0 GPA and honors. She got her bachelor's in accounting, and she was a finalist for the Ogden Foundation Scholar Award. So just wanted to put some kudos out there for Ellen. This is one of those experiential learning experiences that we talk about here at WKU all the time, and my office is happy to participate in that. And I know Ellen had a great experience with us, and she's going to move on and work full-time with Forbes, maybe with Mary. So in addition, you all may have met Caitlin Durham. She's our senior internal auditor. Since we met last time, she passed her third and final CIA exam, so she's now a certified internal auditor. You've got two CIA running around campus now, her and I. And
It's not spy.
She would normally be here today to hear all these wonderful things, but she's also got a new job title. She's at home with little Libby, and everyone's doing well, mom, dad, and baby. And she'll be back at the start of April. So, all right, now for the regular boring audit stuff to update everybody on. The audit plan, so far this year, we've completed two projects. We've got one in progress, and we've got five remaining. With our challenges with losing our student intern, with Caitlin being off for a few months, I don't know that we're going to be able to make it through all five of these remaining projects by the end of the fiscal year. But as we get closer, I'll keep you up to date on where those are and which ones those will be. In addition to that time, here's where we've spent our time for this year. On the right is where we planned to spend our time. On the left is where we've actually spent our time. And you can see we were expecting to spend 65% of our time on projects and follow-up work. We've only done 51%. What have we been doing instead? The big increase is advisory time, where folks have been reaching out and saying, hey, can you look at some processes with us and help make some improvements there? We've spent a lot of time on those and other special projects. And the other one is hotline administration. So we plan to spend 5% of our time, and we're at 7% so far this year. This one took a big increase since October. In October, hotline represented about 3% of our time, and now we're up to 7%. So that's kind of what we've been doing and where we've been spending our time recently. With the hotline, so far this year, we've worked on five projects that have come in through the hotline. We've closed four of them, and we've got one remaining in process that we're still working on right now. Since October, we had two come in and two get closed. As a reminder to everyone, please let us know if you have concerns, you see things that aren't right, aren't appropriate. You can reach out to me directly, or you can reach out to the anonymous hotline information listed here. Finally, a big shout out to undergraduate admissions. So when we do an audit project, we issue a report. That report has recommendations, and management provides action items on what they're going to do to respond to those. We continue to work with that group after the fact and check in with them every quarter to see what have they done, what improvements have they made. Undergraduate admissions has gone through our entire audit report and addressed every item that we had recommendations for, and they are, so they're done. They're done with the follow-up process. So a big shout out to Scott McDonald and Labricia McKinney, who are on the ground working with us on those improvements and those process changes. Recently, in my discussions with you all, I've talked about our quality assurance review. That was the audit of the auditor, if you remember that one. We've got our own action items that we're working on. There's 10 of them. We've got four that are complete. The big one since October is highlighted in bold. It's completed 2,600, communicating and accepting risks. So what we needed to do there was document processes and procedures for when internal audit would communicate with you, the board, about risks that we didn't think management was addressing or if there were other concerns. So we've got those procedures in place now. and y'all can feel good about that. We've got three more items in progress, three more remaining. We'll keep working on those as we move on. In addition, we've got new internal audit standards that went effective in January. I gave you all a highlight of that last time. This should look a little familiar. But today, what I'd like to do is get into, in Domain 3, Governing the Internal Audit Function, Principle 6, authorized by the board. What do you all need to know about Principle 6? And we've got three things, and again, I'm going to take them out of order because I think it makes more sense. Principle 6.2 says we must have an internal audit charter, and that we must discuss that periodically and update it as needed. If you all remember, that's what we did in the fall. So thank you, President Caboni and the board. We did that review, and it got approved. Principle 6.1 is the internal audit mandate. This is where the standards kind of changed the language around all of this, but the substance did not change. It says the authority and responsibilities of internal audit must be very clear, and it must be in the charter, and what scope and types of services we can do. Good job, you all. We got that in the charter last fall when we did that update. So those are the first two. The third one is board and senior management support. First bullet point, communicate regularly. I'm here every quarter to check in with you all. Outside of this meeting, I'm meeting with Chair Brody, talking with the president. I'm meeting with Susan, probably more than she wants to, and being included in her team meetings. Thank you so much for that. There's a lot of communication that we do. The last two bullets talk about our projects and making sure we have no restrictions on what we can do, what we can look at, people we can talk to, and I'm pleased to report we have no issues with that. So my takeaway for you all is with Principle 6.3, thank you all for your support with that, especially Chair Brody and President Caboni of setting that tone and that standard. That internal audit is important, and what we do is value add to the university. Other quick updates. I'm always telling you about our consultations. So far, 21 people have reached out for advice or just talking through problems around campus. That's exactly where we were last fiscal year at this time, and we're on track to hit our goal of 50 for the year. So we'll see if we get there. Contributions to the profession. We made a presentation at the Kentucky Registrars and Admissions Officers. Big thank you to the Registrar's Office for inviting us to talk about AI there. We've been getting around also since our last meeting. We spoke at two different accounting classes and also the Staff Leadership Institute. We did our presentation on what is internal audit, kind of what we do, why we do it, why it's important. And then at the Professional Development Day, I had a great session where we talked about the three signs of a miserable job and how to transform from miserable to meaningful. That was a really good session there, and enjoyed talking with folks at that one. And then finally, our Associate Provost for Research invited me to join the Conflicts of Interest Committee. So we had our first meeting this week, and I'm looking forward to work with that group to evaluate conflicts that have been disclosed by faculty around campus, and then us looking at management action plans to help mitigate those risks. All right, looking ahead, it's the springtime, so we're looking ahead to the FY26 audit plan. We'll continue to put that together based on our risk discussions we're continuing to have with the president's office, and we'll be reaching out to other leaders around the university to make sure we get those updated in the springtime. And then finally, we'll be working on our QAR action plans as we go forward to keep those moving along. Tried to run through that pretty quick. Are there any questions from anyone?
Questions to Bruce?
Thank you so much for what you do.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Mr. Chair, that concludes finance, budget, and audit.
Very good.